This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All right. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, the hostess with the mostest, and I do get it from my mama, Brandi Grayson, with my co-host,
your favorite cousin Clyde, and
producer Luke.
Producer Luke is like, why are you guys trying to throw me in here? We are so excited to be here.
Yes.
We are in the studio recording before the holidays, before Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. So, of course, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. But as always, we start off the Black Conversion Show talking about love, self-care. We believe that love is revolutionary for people known as Black. And to be loved, to practice love, it just takes another level of consciousness, deliberate action, and being. So we always start here in our politicalness. So Clyde, let's check in with you, Cousin Clyde. How are you doing with love and self-care and all that good stuff?
Love. This week I've been the past 2 weeks I've been challenged.
Okay.
And I've been challenged in a way where I have loved on folks. And sometimes we love on folks who don't love us back the same way we love them. And so we find ourselves in a, like, sometimes it could be a very hurtful place, right?
Yeah.
And just have our mind running and running. But I was reminded that that's the reason why I have to love these people the way that I love them, to show them what love looks like, what it feels like. And I don't know exactly what it is, right?
Yeah.
But I could show them that although we're having hard times, I will still love you versus not loving you in not so nice ways, which I can do that. So I've learned to hold back and just be nice, but I don't want to. But
so love for you in the last 2 weeks has been looking like practicing kindness.
Yes, that's the word.
Yeah, practicing
kindness. My pastor,
kindness.
Everett Mitchell, that's what he preached about 2 weeks ago, was kindness and faithfulness.
Yes.
And I broke out in tears when he said the word kindness because we get so caught up sometimes, and it's like, are we even being kind anymore? Even when people are not being kind to you, you have to be kind.
Oh, my God. It's so true. And I've been wrestling with this whole election thing. And remember, I think when it first happened, I was so hurt, so in so many tears, devastated. And I said, I don't know if I can hold space for these people. And I said, whoever voted for Trump, F you, your mama and everybody else. You know, I was really hurt and angry. And I was like, maybe I'll hold space later, but not now. I end up having a very loving and kind conversation with Jerry. Jerry is the new executive director of the YWCA here in Madison, Wisconsin, of Dane County. Shout out to you, Jerry. We went out to Red, the sushi place, the other day.
I love that place.
Me too. And me and Jerry used to work together years ago at the YWCA. I was the director of programming. She was the director of housing or something like that.
Okay.
But we hung out to catch up. And I'm just so proud of her. She's the first Latino woman appointed ED, executive director of the YWCA. You know, they've been around
100
in some years. But what she said to me is her partner, Richie, I think that's his name, and how, you know, they're Democrats and liberals, and how he was able to hold space for a guy, a certain person who voted for Trump. And everybody was like, why are you talking to him? You shouldn't be talking to him. And he said, well, because if you disconnect from people who are confused, then you're actually not offering them the opportunity to learn and grow. And everybody was so upset with him. But he was like, you know, whether they have different opinions or not, I have to be kind. And I have to understand that the only way that you support people out of their confusion or their non-understanding is to engage in conversation and be kind. So that reminds me of that. You know, that whole thing about kindness and that theme. And I do have to, you know, battle with my own self, different parts of me, to practice kindness.
Because
sometimes the world is so cruel and it feels so personal that kindness sometimes gets forgotten.
And how do you practice that? Are you like me and when you get home alone, you're literally like like on your couch feeling bummed out, feeling very hurt, like your mind is all over the place, where I literally have had to pray myself out of that feeling. Yeah. Like, I cannot feel like this.
Yesterday, I think, would be a perfect example. So yesterday, I felt powerful and defeated at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I just had a very productive week at work. So much is hitting us. So many audits. It's the end of the year cleanup, budgets, contracts. You know, people who run nonprofits and do the number of grants
beginning of fourth quarter.
It's a lot of cleanup. Yes. It's a lot of preparation for auditing season, a lot of client files to clean up, a lot of accountability for my staff. And it's just been rough. And at the same time, it was productive. And I found myself watching myself, observing how I was showing up in conversation. And in me watching myself, what I realized is how impatient I am at times, and how I get triggered very easily by someone's slow processing system, their mind. Because some people just process slower. They need time to think about what you just said.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And my problem, not a problem, but the what my gift is my high processing database, my brain. I process very fast. It's one of the gifts of ADHD. Mm-hmm. I can see details before you even, perceive them, which makes me a great leader, great visionary, and a great director of people. Mm-hmm. However, what I have to remind myself is that folks who have slower processing systems, I have to be kind to them.
Yeah.
And don't project what I'm thinking, what I think it should be, onto them. So the last day or two, I've had to be very just conscious of myself and cognitive of myself, which actually opened space. When I slowed down to be there for others, I became more productive. They became more productive.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you move so fast because you're in a rush, but you actually are being less productive.
Yeah.
So I think that's my way this week of demonstrating kindness for others and myself and being patient and forgiving myself. Like, it's okay. This just is how your brain works.
Yeah.
And just practicing that kindness. I think that's how it's showing up for me, and just really trying to find the place to hold space for everyone who wished they didn't vote for Trump. Because now it's like, oh, I didn't understand that. And just really practicing who I say I'm being in the world. And who I say I am in the world is transformative, empowering, and inspiration. And how do you be those things if you're being unkind?
No, that's a fact, right? And
so
in that patience, because I'm in that same place where I'm practicing the patience and just relaxing and slowing down, I've realized, like, my body even feels like not overwhelmed.
Yeah,
and not
more relaxed.
Overstimulated. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's healthy. It's a healthy practice.
Yeah.
If you haven't recognized it within yourself, now may be a good time to start recognizing that and being like, let me go slow. And, you know, another thing that I had noticed with some people around me.
You're listening to The Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson
and your favorite cousin Clyde.
Sorry, Clyde, go ahead.
No, you good. And another thing I had noticed that hit me in the past 2 weeks was like, maybe you need some kids, Clyde.
Clyde, right? you don't need no darn kids. Oh, Lord. Help us,
Luke. Because I look at parents, right? Well, I work with kids.
Yeah.
And I've learned to slow down for them in different moments of their lives. Yeah. And I said, this is what teaches adults patience.
But does it?
For most of us, it's supposed to teach us patience, kindness, and forgiveness.
Yeah,
because when you have to work with a little being, you realize that they don't know. They don't know better.
They
help you figure it out.
They do.
And so I was that could be it, Clyde. Like, that's where you could be at in this moment of your life where you're like, okay, I need to slow down. And I need to stop moving so fast because of age, because of the body, everything, your mind, everything. And so that hit me. I was like, man, but just prepare yourself first before you have those children so that you can be kind and patient and have the energy, right?
And just know you're tuned into Black Conversion Show, and we talk about love and relationships and self-care. It's revolutionary.
We do our check-ins.
Yeah, we do our check-ins because it's political for us. Love is a political thing. It's an action word, which requires us to move in a way deliberately where we're not sucked in all the time to the matrix.
Yeah.
And this whole thing around politics is based in getting us disconnected from each other, disjointed, mm-hmm. and really disjointed from our humanity. Mm-hmm. And the way that we get back to our humanity and self is through love. Mm-hmm. And love is a direct act of being deliberate and intentional on watching yourself. And that's self-love. Watch who you are and watch who you're being mm-hmm. versus who you say you desire to be. Because how you show up in the world is what you attract in your world.
Yeah.
And it's how you create your world, right? So this system of politics and what I call the matrix has created this reality for us where we're just moving, doing, and we don't have time to be kind. We don't have time to be patient.
Yeah.
We don't see each other. So we lose our own humanity.
Yeah.
So that's why we start with love, because yeah. love is political. It is mm-hmm. revolutionary. It is a very actionable thing that we have to do. And what I would like to do real quick, Luke, is do me a favor, play this clip, because I think it's a perfect fit. And what mm-hmm. you and I was talking about before we even started.
Okay.
So I don't know. You tune into the Black Conversion Show, so we take a lot of things and we converge them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at this 30-second clip about mental health. You're going to start at the beginning, Luke, and just stop at like 29 seconds, 30 seconds. Whenever you're ready, Luke.
Yourself believing that you know what someone's thinking, only to later realize that what you assume they were thinking is really what you're thinking. This kind of mind reading is a psychological defense mechanism called projection. It's where you unconsciously assign your own unwanted feelings and emotion to someone else. Doing this can have a serious negative impact on your relationships and even how you feel about yourself. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm Dr. Tracy Marks, a psychiatrist, and I make mental health.
Thank you, Luke, for that. So part of it is, you guys, is that I do this. I project all the
yeah,
time.
I do that as well.
Tell us how you do it, Clyde.
So for me, when I'm in conversations, uh-huh. I find myself like, let it be a conversation where it's, it could be dealing with anything, personal, business, uh-huh. friendship.
Yeah.
And I'm just like so overstimulated
yeah.
that I'm just like listening to them and I'm being like, I'll do things like, right, yeah, I told you, and you were going to do that,
yeah.
and this is what it is, and this is what it ain't, and you now need to apologize,
right?
Right, like, you need to tell me sorry, and it's like trying to be in full control
uh-huh.
of someone else's
yeah.
communication, and
yeah.
I'm like, I've had to check myself, like,
yeah.
relax. Like, relax, because then when I do listen, they say something totally different.
Different than what you thought you heard.
Yes.
And that you projected.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learn in our work at Urban Triage, you know, you guys, I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, a nonprofit organization. We provide transformative development and personal development. And what we teach there is that is what we phrase as already always listening. Already always listening. So you're already listening for someone to be a certain way, think a certain way, and that's what you project onto them. And then you make them that way.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't even show up differently if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is narcissistic, y'all.
And we're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk
yeah.
about it because
yeah.
I can be narcissistic.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a narcissistic personality disorder, but I do have the narcissistic trait of authority. Like, I think I know it all.
Yeah.
What Same. About you?
I swear I know it all.
Okay, so
we know a little bit, though.
We're going to come back and talk about being deliberate and being aware of ourselves when it comes to narcissistic traits. So stay tuned. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, WMDX, with your girl, Brandi Grayson,
and your favorite cousin, Clyde.
We'll be back.
And
Luke. We'll be back in the gym. Stepping like a toothpick.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, we are back on 92.7 FM. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
Your favorite cousin, Clyde, and...
Producer Luke.
All right.
Producer Luke in the background. So prior to break, you guys, this Thanksgiving week, we are honoring ourselves in forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And just being aware of ourselves. We're talking about love and how important it is in politics in the world. Everything we do in people activities is political nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And before break, that conversation led us to narcissism
yeah.
And how we often ourselves embody attributes and traits of narcissism. And I myself have this trait of narcissism of authority, like I know it all. And then that shows up in conversation, which leads to me being unkind. Because you can't be kind when you're talking at over and to people. That's not kind. And when you're dismissing folks and you're not able to hold space for their words. And I know that you often experience that too. Yeah. And you're working on showing up differently.
Especially with my family. I think I'm starting there. I feel like we can all grow up in the same household with our siblings, but when we get older, we go different directions, right? And some of us are lucky to, you know, learn our environment in different ways. And so I used to show up in spaces where I thought I knew it all, especially with my siblings. And as we gotten older, my older siblings have taught me so much about like life in so many words that I realized like I never really gave them the opportunity to be the older siblings.
Right, because you thought you knew it all at five.
Yes.
That's my
and
son.
I didn't give them the opportunity to teach because they just taught a little slower than what I thought.
Well,
you know?
Slower than your brain process information.
Yeah, so I just always was dismissive.
And projected that they were slow.
Yeah, and now that I'm older, oh my God, listening to my older brother is like gems.
Wisdom.
Yes, and I'm and I sit there and I just be like, oh my God, I always tell him like, thank you. Like, oh my God, thank you so much for just sharing that with me and saying that to me. And so I'm learning that just with my family, like just be patient, be the baby, be the young one. And still soak it all in, even though you're getting older, because it gets better.
It does
when
get
you're
better.
Older.
And one thing prior to break, we had a clip, and this person on the clip was saying how we project and how it's a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. We project our stories and our ideas onto other people. And what it does is it actually makes us more insecure. And more toxic and more dysfunctional.
And mean.
And mean. So I know I can be mean, right? Yeah. And my staff will tell you, and my partner will tell you, I am the nicest. I'm nasty nice. I'm one of the nicest, meanest people you will ever know. Like, I'm giving, I'm loving. But if I project or I perceive something, then
you're
I go from
it.
There, right?
Yeah.
And that's not who I desire to be in the world.
Yeah.
So I've been really intentionally practicing showing up differently. So, for example, this morning I stopped my partner to have a conversation like, hey, this is how I've been feeling, because sometimes we project meanness and anger because what we feel in our thoughts turn into resentment because we haven't expressed ourselves.
And because it's the morning time.
And not just the morning
time. I'm so mean in the morning, it ain't even fun. Ooh, it's dangerous.
It is a requirement of our being to be self-expressive.
Yeah.
And this world that we live in, this matrix, this program teaches us to shrink and to not say what we mean. And if we finally do, it comes out aggressive and mean because you've been holding it so long. So this morning I said, you know what? I'm actually going to tell my partner what I've been thinking. So not to get y'all all in our business, but I just said, you know, there's some things that I need to feel safe. Mm-hmm. I need you to answer my questions before I ask them. You know, because if I have to ask them, that means I'm already feeling unsafe. Mm-hmm. If you're being transparent, and I'm not talking about like, you know, when you say, some people just think negative, but when I say feel safe and communicate, I mean communicate what the week's gonna look like, what we're doing in the
month.
I'm
getting ready to run to the gas station, I'll be right back.
Communicate like financially, how it's gonna work for us financially, what's working, what's not, where you need support. Communicate what we're doing with the kids. Are we getting the kids? How are we gonna do what's the visitation? Because then that way I can feel safe. If there's somewhere that's going to move us out of our daily routine, because, you know, every day we have a routine, but some things come up and the routines change. And when the routines change, I feel unsafe, especially if it's abruptly. I need anticipation. Like, let me anticipate ahead
we
of time.
We need control.
Yeah, we do. But not control. I just need to feel safe because of my triggers in childhood.
Yeah.
And when you love someone, your job is to hold space for what they need to feel
and
safe.
And their vulnerability.
Whether you agree with it or not.
Yeah.
Right? And my job is to do the same. So when I was able to come to him from a place of thoughtfulness and kindness, he was able to receive it. Whereas sometimes I come from a place of irritation. You don't do this. You don't do that.
Yeah.
But no one wants to hear about what they don't do.
Right.
They just want to know what you need.
Does that make sense? No, that makes total sense. And so for me, what I'm working on with things like that now is you can't control what other people do. I have to work on that so much. Yeah. And as I'm working on that in life, I've just learned to even stick up for those people in spaces, right? Like, they don't have to do that.
Like, but it feels like that. Yeah, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We're just talking about self-love and our narcissism and how we're showing up and how we're going to practice being more deliberate, especially as we enter into this new year and really thinking about who we desire to be in the world so that we can really attract that back and call other people's greatness forward, especially people in our world.
And that's it. We're just giving you where we are. So hopefully you could take this home and practice some of the things that we share.
Yeah.
And what we were saying was about just being in spaces and working on, because it doesn't happen overnight. Everyone, please listen. No, it doesn't happen overnight. No. But working on those small things, like when you feel like you want to say something before someone is even done talking, to just listen.
Just to listen. Shut up. I have to check myself all the time. I have to, and you know, in spirituality, the work of the dark world work, or the, what they call the shadow work, is really about you watching you, observing you. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? Or do you have tension in your hands, your head? Are you, what's happening inside your body? Because when you can identify what's happening, then you can control what's happening. You can make a conscious choice. A lot of us are acting out of childhood trauma, abandonment issue, rejection issues, mama issues, daddy issues, leading to fear. And anytime that you're walking in fear, you're compounding the fear, and really you're creating more darkness in your own world. When we all yearn for, from a human perspective, is to be seen, validated, acknowledged. We desire companionship. We desire people. We desire families, love, relationships. And at the end of the day, in order for you to have that, you have to be that.
Yeah. And so for me, you said something that was very valuable, and that was actually looking at yourself.
Yeah.
And what I've had to do as I look at myself is learn what needs to be out in public and given to people.
Yeah. And not,
and then learning what needs to go home in my own mess.
Clyde always trying to check me about how much I be telling my business.
It's not about telling her business. It's about the ears that it falls on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because that is where it can get crazy. But again, learning how to take how I feel if I'm in a public setting around folks and saying, watch what you say, because everyone cannot handle your words. And that's another thing that I'm working on is there is power in the tongue.
Yeah,
the
so tongue can speak life
and death.
And the more powerful you are in your words, the more responsible you have to be, because great power comes great responsibility. And that's also something I'm learning and practicing, because y'all know I go ham and go left.
It gets good at the end, right?
And then people be looking at me like, no, you didn't. And like, even with my relationship, that's why I backed off of social media, because there's so much, like I was telling Clyde last week when we had lunch, I only tell part of the story.
Yeah.
So that's something to talk about too in a minute. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, where we're not always honest and authentic in our own self-expression, but we're learning and growing.
Yeah.
So you want to stay tuned, because we're going to talk about Trump. We're going to talk about the reasons people voted and how people were delusional, but and what to do next as humans and as communities. So you want to stay tuned to this on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson.
And your favorite cousin Clyde.
We'll be back in a jiff.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Hey, I like that, Lou. Okay, producer Lou. You are tuned in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
Your favorite cousin, Clyde, and...
Producer Luke.
Producer Luke is always in the background. All right, prior to break, we were talking about narcissism and ourselves and self-love and self-care and how it's all political and how do we position ourselves to really create a more humane world in this world of Trumpism and the realization that we're going to have some sad folks. And it's just going to be some... happening, okay? Mm-hmm. So we really have to be deliberate in self-assessing, like someone said on our Facebook thread. And I just want to read something that someone posted on Facebook. It said, the Greek myth of narcissism, his mother was told he would have a long life as long as he never looked upon his own features. Well, he did, and he looked in the river, and at this reflection, he fell in love and then killed himself. That can be also be explained in white supremacy culture.
That's a lot to unpack.
I don't get it.
I don't either, but...
Clyde was trying to make it deep, and we confused. See, that's how you know when you think you know it all, and a big bull crapper, that's him. He will bull crap anything.
I get it. I think I get it, right? I think she's saying, like, he was so full of himself, right?
Okay.
That he created this person that once he finally looked upon himself, he was disgusted. And he fell
He looked in the river at his reflection, fell in love, and then killed himself.
Yeah.
So he fell in love. That can be also be explained in white supremacy culture. I don't get it.
Now, that part I don't understand, but I do understand the part about, like, you could be so in yourself.
But I think we have love confused. I think we have, like, vanity confused with love.
Like, explain vanity really fast.
I think vanity is, like, when you're so into yourself. Mm. Like, you look in the mirror and you say, oh, you're so hot. You're so fine.
So is that where vain comes from when they say, like, you're so vain?
Yeah, like, and you know vain people. You know vain people.
Yeah, I do.
That, like, they can't go out the house without putting their full mask on.
I know some grown vain people.
They have to have the best of the best, even if they go to Aldi's. And some people won't go to Aldi's. And some people won't. They want people to see them in a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that is part of it. And I have to say, my baby daddy is in jail, y'all. He is the textbook narcissist. Oh. And I'm going to say it now because he's locked up. So,
but we're not going to dog him.
No, yeah, but I want to say this. He's a great dad, and we're not going to ever take that away from him. But as it relates to textbook narcissism, he's so manipulative. This man said to me the other day, instead of asking me if I can, this is how he leads. Do you think it's important for my son to see me? That's why I thought it was important for you not to go to prison for fraud. Like, it's important for you to be present in your... But what he wanted to get at is now it's my responsibility versus being like, hey,
I want to
see my son. Is it possible? My parents can't bring him. Can you work it out? But it's always about making, like, this guilt trip, this gaslighting, this manipulation, this need to... I can't explain it,
But look
it, y'all.
At it from a way where where are you so damaged that you can't say what you need?
It's low self-esteem. Yeah. Most narcissists, and I mean diagnosis book, like, I can't explain. I have narcissistic traits. Everybody does. Everybody has some form of narcissism traits. However,
and we're all at different levels.
When it's a personality disorder, you can't feel empathy for others. There is absolutely no accountability. You ever meet someone that even when they slap you without cause, they're going to make it about you?
Yeah.
You did it to yourself. You made me move my hand.
You better not slap me and say that I did that. Uncle Z gonna rumble, baby.
But anyway, we're gonna move on because we know Trump is a textbook narcissist.
Yes.
You know where his sentences doesn't even make sense?
Exactly.
But I want you to play real quick for us, Luke, the clip from Bernie Sanders. He kind of defines really well how we got here. How did we get to a Trump America? I mean, I think it's a good explanation. Go ahead, Luke, when you're ready.
Voters, I hate to break it to you, but here's what actually happened on Tuesday.
If you are the Republican leadership, and this is what your goals are to give huge tax breaks to the very richest people in this country. Your goals are ultimately to privatize Social Security so that Wall Street can make money from that. Privatize Medicare so the insurance companies can make more money. Privatize education. Do away with public schools. If those are your goals and you said that to the American people, you think you get a lot of lower? There are many members of the Congress today, Republicans, who not only will not raise the minimum wage, which is $5.15 an hour, you know what they will tell you, honestly? They believe in abolishing the minimum wage. Did you know that? Check it out. Telling you the truth. So that if Americans can work for $3 an hour or $2 an hour, not a problem. Now, if you had an agenda like that and you went before the American people, tax breaks for the rich, destruction of Medicare, destruction of Social Security as we know it, lowering the minimum wage or abolishing it, how many votes did you think you'd get? Not a whole lot. Maybe the richest 1% would vote for you. That's not a lot of votes. So what do I do? I've got a problem. You package it. How do you package it? And here's, I want you to pay attention to me. Because this is bad stuff. I don't mind debating people who say, I was on the Hannity show, Sean Hannity, you know, yesterday, and Hannity, extreme right-wing guy, he thinks we should, he loves these tax breaks for the rich and so forth. So we had a little bit of a discussion about that. Actually, it was a loud discussion, matter of fact. But I don't mind people who are upfront about that. Okay, give the rich more tax breaks, we can argue that. But that doesn't win you elections. So this is what you do. What you do is divide people up. When you asked me your question, how do I get elected? I said, I try to bring people together. We fight for women's rights. We support the rights of minorities. We support the rights of workers. We bring the majority of people together. And occasionally, honest people will have differences of opinion. In this room, there will be differences of opinion. But everybody in this room is in agreement that everybody should have health care, right? Question number two, should we increase funding for education or should we lower funding for education? Raise your hand if you think we should increase funding for education. Okay, you're on the side of the vast majority of Americans. Okay. So on those issues, we bring people together. Now, what do the Republicans try to do? And they use it in what we call, kind of language that they don't, not upfront about. What do? We divide people up by races. Affirmative action becomes one issue. All them black people are getting the jobs that we white people used to have. Split people, working class, white against black. Instead of working together to create decent jobs for all. Those uppity women now, they want the right to choose. We'll split people on the abortion issue. We'll split people up on the gun issue. We'll split people up on religious issues. Do you follow what I'm saying? So you split people up, and then they end up, if you're a middle-class person, voting against your own interests, and the rich go laughing all the way to the bank. Okay? And they very often play white workers off against everybody else.
That was good. So yeah. I wanted us to listen to that. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson.
Your favorite cousin Clyde and
Producer Luke.
And Producer Luke. I wanted us to hear that because I think Bernie Sanders did a good job at really
helping us understand.
And that was from 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was from really? 20 years
ago. That was a clip from 20 years ago.
Yep.
He's always been a smart guy. I didn't like when they didn't vote for him.
Yeah, I didn't vote for him, but I didn't agree with him. But anyway, we're not gonna talk about me right now. But I'm actually more moderate than people think. But I think he did a great job of breaking down how Trump won. And this is exactly why Trump won this election, is because it was the splitting, right?
Yeah.
And most Americans actually believe and want the same thing.
Yeah.
And what we don't understand, like he said, is that we end up voting against ourselves because mm-hmm. we're split on the issues. I want Social Security, and maybe I'm a conservative, and I'm very religion, and I don't believe in abortions.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the feeling. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh my God, my grandmother's Social Security just got cut off. Her Medicaid just got cut off. She can no longer afford her health care. She can no longer get her medication. And now I'm like, I wish I didn't do that. So that's what the most Americans will experience in the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And what I was trying to explain when I was overly upset and projecting when this stuff first happened was that I'm mad. I'm mad because people who I advocate for and look out for, who call me when you need something, did not get up and vote. Mm-hmm. And then some even voted for the other side.
Yeah.
And those folks would be the most impacted.
Yeah.
Because I will survive. I live a privileged life.
Yeah.
I do live a privileged life. Like, yeah, I have resources. Same. I have influence. I have access to things that other people don't.
You have literacy.
You
have wisdom. Yeah.
I will survive the turfs, the 20% stuff and the imports, export. Y'all, you guys will not be able to afford underwear for your kids if everything goes the way Trump plans.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so upset. And the fact that we would even think that it's okay to tell a woman what to do with her body because you don't believe in abortions. I mean, that's extreme, right? You cannot believe in abortion and still believe that a woman should have the right to a medical procedure if she's dying.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be binary. It shouldn't be absolute. And that's where the moderate part of me comes in. What's your thoughts about what you heard from Bernie?
Well, for me, it's that too, right? Like, when I voted, I didn't just vote for myself.
Right.
I voted for the people I love the most.
Yeah, yeah.
And one was, when you get to a certain age, your parents become those elders, right?
Yeah.
And they depend on those SSIs, those SSDIs, yeah, and those Medicare benefits and things of that nature. And I just had to think for myself and say, I need to vote this way because my mother cannot lose these things, because if she loses these things, it will impact my income, because I have to make sure my mother eats.
That is,
I have to make sure that she has a roof over her head. Yeah. And so I didn't vote for me, right? And I noticed that around me, a lot of people did not vote that way. They voted for themselves, or they voted for sexism. They voted to womanize people. They voted for control. And they voted because of racism, right? And so when it all comes down to it, we will have to suffer the repercussions
of that.
But like you said, some of us are at a place where we're going to be like, I'm not going to suffer too much. Now, people around me may suffer, and I'll make sure I do what I have to do to support them. But then the next election, we are like, this is going to be my goal. Look at what we've been through.
Yeah. And let's hold Democrats responsible, too, because why would you put, I just want y'all to be aware that each time that Trump ran, he ran against women. Racism is founded in patriarchy. The hate of women is founded in sexism. It was around before racism. It is the foundation. That's why I was a black man president before a woman. That's why a black man gained his rights to vote before a white woman did. So we have to understand that racism is a...
it's not always about skin color sometimes.
Well, racism is an extension of sexism.
Right?
So if the Democrats...
It comes out in different ways.
But if Democrats wanted to beat Trump, they darn sure should have knew better to run him against a woman. Now, do I think women can run the country? Absolutely. Do I think that we were ready to have that conversation against Trump? No, we were not. Right? So I don't know what's up with Democrats. A part of me believed that it was all a setup. Because why would you do the same thing twice? It's like Albert Einstein said, you know, if you do the same thing again, expecting a different result.
Yeah, you're going to get the same results.
It's called insanity. You're supposed to learn. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to do something different. Luke, what do you think? Do you think it was a setup?
I don't necessarily know if it was a setup from that. Like, I truly believe that if there was more time,
they would have had a different person.
That Kamala could have won. I think it was such, she was set up for failure to start, I think.
So late in campaigning?
Well, not necessarily set up for failure, I guess. She was just so far behind the starting line. Is because she had 3 months. She had like 100 days, less than 100 days.
That's true.
To try to run a national campaign for president.
She
did, I think, everything that a candidate could have done. And in the 7 battleground states, she did better than the national trends, because that's where she had
to
spend
focus.
Her time had to be spent there. And so I don't know.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of factors.
I think it just also goes to show that this clip being from 20 years ago, that this isn't a fight that we're just fighting today.
Right.
This is a fight that's been going on, and it's going to be a fight probably 20 years from now as well.
I agree.
But there's a lot of work to be done.
It is a lot of work to do.
And that's what makes me angry, is that this conversation has been going on for a very long time. And some people are just now getting hip to what's going on.
That's how I feel sometimes.
And we're gonna have to. When I tell you, I've just been in the brace yourself mode. And I'm gonna stay here for the next 5 years, because what he does in 4 will fill it.
Well, don't stay there too hard, because you know when you're bracing yourself, you cause your nervous system to produce cortisol.
I'm so afraid, because you're just waiting for bad news, because you know something is finna come.
But that means you're living in anxiety. We don't want to live there. We want to live in a place of creation. So that's why we need to practice kindness and self-awareness. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and
your favorite cousin Clyde.
We'll be back in a second, you guys.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, y'all. Hey, not crazy in love. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
Your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Producer Luke.
Okay. Y'all, you know, Cousin Clyde and I are local in Madison, Wisconsin, and we center our conversations around love, around Black people, around politics, and all the stuff that's happening in the world. And locally, can we just start this section with, locally, there was an extraordinary wedding that occurred last weekend, and I didn't go because I wasn't invited, and I felt some kind of way.
No, that it was not an invite wedding. It was a RSVP wedding. And
what does that mean, RSVP wedding?
So the way that the Flynns did it was they did like a social media post, and they just said, drop your email if you wanted an invite.
Oh,
so,
they did. Yeah, I saw that
a
post.
A ton of their communication was done via their website, which was super beautiful.
It kept
us up to date. That also like ran their schedule, any changes. The venue was in Mount Horeb at the Eloise.
I was wondering where you guys were at.
Yeah, it was about 25 minutes out.
Oh, my God.
Never been to this venue, but this venue was breathtaking. Mm. Like, when you walked in, you felt love. You felt the decorum. Mm. You felt the, like, I am at a wedding. Everybody, the guests, the bride and groom.
It felt like a Tyler Perry movie wedding.
I was like, is the angels gonna come flying over the roof? But it was so elegant.
It was so nice.
The wedding planner, her name is Maria. I don't know her company's name.
Okay.
But she ate that up, right?
She ate it.
Jemiah is also an event planner who assisted as well.
Shout out to those two.
They did their thing.
Period.
And so,
LaTanya, even leading up to the wedding, the bridal shower,
the
photos.
LaTanya's also an organizer, I want to say that.
My
so
God.
This was. It was evidence that it was going to lead up to a big bang.
Baby.
Beautiful. At the reception, they had a wonderful program. They did, like, the shoe game.
Oh,
they did
God.
The trivia. They did a lot of trivia things. Like, you had to go there. Your table was set. Like, you had to sit at a certain table. It wasn't ghetto. Like, you know, usually, like, you they just, like, do your thing. No, baby. It was
all organized and structured. Because you know I'm bougie ghetto, okay?
Yeah.
I'm the most bougie ghetto woman you know because
I was in my element.
Look, okay?
If you would have came, that's how you would have felt. I was in my element. This is how the girls love it.
Okay.
I was so proud of
LaTanya. First of all, I got a couple friends getting married next year, and I told them, I said, y'all should have got married before her.
Yeah.
Because she
now
did.
The president is set. It's set. The bar is set. I said that same thing. I said, now this is how you do it.
I would delay my wedding for another year.
No,
just
for real.
So I could catch up because it was that fabulous and so beautiful. So shout out to the newlyweds.
LaTanya and Cartel Flynn.
Black love is revolutionary, baby. And I know she said on a post that they have been together since she was 14.
Her high school sweetheart.
So that's just beautiful. And then to have your dream wedding, that is everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, locally, we just had to talk about it because it makes me so happy.
And it was all love. It was all love.
So what else we got going on locally? Oh, Giving Tuesday is coming up.
Yes.
It's the National Day of Giving for nonprofit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, who should you give to first? The People's Choice Nonprofit, Urban Triage. Voted not the People's Choice Community Choice Nonprofit two years in a row. I don't want to toot my own horn, but we do some hell
but
of a work.
Yeah.
Toot, toot. So either way, go to urbantriage.org and donate. We have a dollar-to-dollar match, meaning that every dollar you donate to Urban Triage will be matched. UW Health has committed to matching up to $25,000.
Nice.
You donate five, they donate five. That means we get $1,000. Roots and Wings Foundation has committed to donating $15,000 in matching funds, meaning that we don't get to use the money if you don't donate.
Yeah.
So that's $40,000 committed in matching funds. So make your dollar count. All the funds we raise will go to our youth programming to support homeless youth.
Nice.
Who are facing imminent homelessness and youth who are aging out of foster care in support of our new transitional youth housing, which is all ready to go. We're just waiting for some things to get settled and contracts and with the county. But our launch date is in January. So we're super excited about that, y'all. So go to our website, support the work of your local nonprofit that, you know, we deliver on our word. I mean, check out our website, check out our deliverables. We do what we say.
Yeah.
Integrity is super important to us. The youth will also be involved in our HEMP program because that has been one of our most popular programs with youth, and which is really teaching them how to grow hemp, cultivate hemp.
On the farm.
Because we do farm around
the legal
here.
Way.
The
yeah.
little black farmers we are.
Mm-hmm.
At Urban Triage, we do a lot of transformative education. So stay tuned. Follow our Facebook on Giving Tuesday, December the 3rd, which is Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And we'll be live on Facebook most of the day. You'll meet our staff. You'll hear testimonies from our clients and people we serve. You will get to see an insight of how we do our staff development and a piece of our Supporting Healthy Black Families curriculum. So peek in, jump in anytime, starting at 9 a.m. December 3rd. Catch us on Facebook, Urban, U-R-B-A-N, Triage, T-R-I-A-G-E .org.
And that's usually a 24-hour thing,
yeah,
right?
It's a whole day of fundraising. Yes. So you're going to be bombarded by all nonprofits. Dane County has like 6,000. But out of the 6,000, I'm going to encourage you to choose us. We are the Black and the most, I don't want to, you know, compare us to anybody, but we fill niches other people can't fill. We house people in an amazing way, extraordinary way, like quickly. We do the darn thing. So shout out to our staff who's on the front line, and let's give it back to Cousin Clyde because he also runs a nonprofit. And you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. So go ahead, Cousin Clyde, tell us about your nonprofit.
She is correct. I am the director of The House, Inc. This year, we are not organizing a Giving Tuesday. Our fundraising chair wants to do some other organizing and they don't want to rush Giving
Tuesday.
But
donate anyway.
Yeah, if you can, you can still go to our website. We won't be campaigning Giving Tuesday, but you can still donate anyway on the website, okay?
But donate to us
but
first.
But I am going to support Urban Triage and Giving Tuesday and tell you guys to go over there because it's important. You know, we depend on these things. We depend on these dollars and these are a part of our budget. So support Urban Triage on Giving Tuesday. You can stop by my website, which is thehouseinc.org, if you would like to give and just give a normal community donation.
Yeah.
But I'm excited because that day a lot of money is given out on a national level, millions of dollars.
And on billions of dollars. Yeah. And Madison in the Dane County area, you guys are pretty rich. So let's just talk about that. We don't have 6,000 nonprofits for nothing. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is that we have huge nonprofits that may not be on the front line like smaller nonprofits.
Yeah.
We do extraordinary work. When you want to have your, you know, the most impact by your dollar, choose us. When you donate $25, that $25 goes to helping someone who's living in their car get gas to get, you know, get heat. If you donate $50, that $50 goes to purchasing essentials like food, milk, and things like that that children need and diapers. You donate $500, it goes to helping people get housed and helping people navigate. $1,000.
Avoid eviction.
Yeah, avoid an eviction. $1,000 help us move people into their homes. And that is the highest need in our community right now is housing stability. So be the hope. This is the season of giving. So give. Visit urbantriage.org on Giving Tuesday, December 3rd. But thank you guys for listening and staying tuned to the Black Conversion Show. We did not talk about Thanksgiving, but boy, it's going
down. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Peace, love, and hair grease.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.